All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 315 for Thursday, July something. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out how rigged the game is, and at this point, it's probably better to just go live as a hermit in the woods. Or you know, you can get yourself some of that spray adhesive they sell at craft shops, a amazing amount of tinfoil, and some house paint, and just, you know, put up the tinfoil wallpaper. Just take care of that. Ooh, wallpaper glue might work too, especially if you can get the industrial rolls of tinfoil, and you know, just cover the walls in it.
Flex seal.
Yeah, there you go, and then paint it so that nobody knows there's tinfoil in the walls. You'll get shitty Wi-Fi signals, but the aliens will not be telling you what to do, and Facebook will not be monitoring your movements. So.
Dude, I'm never doing a house swap renovation show with you.
That's
my house would look like shit.
Look like shit, but it'd be well insulated.
You just see them walk, they walk through the door. What do you think?
Why does it look like an oven?
It looks like shit, but the noise in my head has stopped. Thanks.
And you know, when it's 50 degrees Celsius out there, you know, it'll only be 48 degrees Celsius inside your house.
Well, you could save yourself the time and just go for the tinfoil headgear then. I'm Morps, and tonight we have Are you? What do you recommend in Alex Jones levels of home renovation?
Do what I do. I built a small Faraday cage for mobile phones. For when people come to my house, I ask them, please put their mobile phone inside that.
That works.
Not only does it make me look completely fucking insane, I love watching their eyes go fucking out of their head when they know they'll have to be away from their monitoring device for more than 30 minutes.
Nice. Syntax, what is your recommendation in Alex Jones of levels of home renovation and or alcohol consumption?
Home renovation, I have no idea. I'm just really hoping that I don't literally get struck by lightning today. So I'm drinking some, probably the last of my 2011 Grand Port, because, you know, it's the best thing I have in the house. So I figure if I die, I'm going to die with something good.
Die well, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Madman, I'm not going to ask you about home renovation. I wouldn't ask Static either. He put a fucking foot through my roof when I was...
Like on purpose?
No, it wasn't all the way through, but yeah, we had to repair the ceiling. Anyways,
this is a story I want to hear later.
It's not nearly as interesting as you think. We were just running Ethernet wire and he slipped.
Just
sitting there in the kitchen and you hear a thud and you look up and the ceiling's got a huge crack in it.
He's leaving out that the reason he slipped is we were in his attic. And there were boxes of random crap, and Static was wearing a horse head, half of a mask, dancing.
That's true, but that's not the point.
Well, if you're running Ethernet cable, you really should use a bow and arrow.
Tie it to one end, shoot it through the ceiling?
Oh, yeah. I did that on drop ceilings in big corporate offices, and it has a double effect. So, one, you can shoot that piece of Cat 5 a long ways. One. Two, when you come walking into the you know, a corporate office building and they know you're the weird IT guy, but you're, you know, holding a compound bow, people just get the fuck out of your way.
I just need to keep one of those in my office for, you know, other reasons. What's that? That's an employee motivational device.
Absolutely it is.
What are you drinking, Madman?
I am drinking an apple lambic. I would say the name of the brewer, but it's in Belgium, so fuck that.
There's weird squiggly marks above and below letters?
The letters could be English, but the word is most assuredly not. And I'm not going to bother trying to mispronounce it.
Wait, are you allowed to be drinking Belgian beer under the Trump administration and then new trade embargoes?
It's purchase free embargo.
An embargo on anything?
Come on, man. I'm embargo. Use the right word.
Steel. We're only embargoing steel, aluminum, and Mexicans.
I'm trying to import
any more Mexicans.
I'm trying to get the word embargo going around so I can see the fucking CNN. Trump's embargo on the rest of the world. I'm like, fuck yes.
I'm just trying to find a flaw in Madman's argument there, and there really isn't one. It might not be the right words, but it really isn't a flaw there.
So. Yeah. And I'm just glad I'm already in the country, so when they do, you know, put the embargo on the Mexicans to full effect, I'm already here. You can't throw me out.
You don't go outside. You're not going to be nearly tan enough. You'll pass for Caucasian. It's fine.
Yeah, that is true.
Dude, the only test they have to do with you, man, is like they'll give you a lawnmower. If you can pull start it the first time, you're out. But if it takes a couple of times, you get to stay.
Just pretend you're talking like, just try to do your best Dave Chappelle impersonating a white person impersonation. You'll be fine.
Actually, I just finished watching Dave Chappelle's first series again a couple of days ago. Do yourself a favor, pick it up. It has one of the greatest comedic sketches of all time in the first ever episode of Dave Chappelle Show. The white power one.
Oh, Black yeah, guy. I've seen that.
Yeah. I think it's single-handedly one of the funniest pieces of comedy ever written.
Was that Dave Chappelle being an old black guy in the Ku Klux Klan?
Yeah, I think I remember that. Klan. Yeah, and at the end, he divorced his wife, and when we asked him why, well, I don't want to live with no nigger lover. That is the greatest fucking line of all time. Like, just the way with this setup, before everyone starts screaming, oh, racist, blah, blah, no, it's fucking hilarious. It's what comedy used to be. It was stereotyping. It was hilarious. And just to have Dave Chappelle sitting there going, he thinks he set the black empowerment back 10 years just writing that sketch alone.
If anything, he moved it forward, because if they can joke about it.
So, exactly.
Anyways.
It was so well done.
Right. So we're doing a show. I forgot.
Did we have another person? Did we miss someone on the intros?
Are you Madman?
Nope.
Syntax.
Oh, okay.
Oh, me. I'm drinking more of that blend of all the ends of a bunch of whiskeys. I added some Four Roses to it, not the single barrel or anything, just the regular blend stuff.
If you have enough to have a second glass, there was probably enough in the individuals to drink.
Possibly, but I wanted to experiment. So,
how has the experiment gone?
Actually,
Bobo Chardonnay. That's what he's making.
Once I put the Four Roses in it, it helped. It's actually a really good flavor right now. Of course, when I buy the next bottle and put more in it, it'll probably throw it off. But hey, whatever. So
throw a handful of Skittles in there. That'll kick the flavor back up.
What I'm doing is just from now on, whenever I buy a bottle of any whiskey that isn't like flavored or something that'll really fuck it up, like a hardcore Scotch or something, just pour some of it
Fireball.
In the bottle. Yeah, Fireball. Pour some Fireball in there. That'll fuck it up. So, yeah. And just kind of see what it tastes like.
Have you seen Fireball has a new box of bad decisions? At least that's what I'm calling it. So it's 2 gallons of Fireball, but it's in a box, like box wine. And it has 2 spigots, one on either side.
I've not seen this.
That is officially a box of bad decisions.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'll find a link and I'll post it in the IRC.
So, anyways, let's get to our lead story. This is from CNET. A Mozilla engineer says Google's redesign has made YouTube slower on Firefox and Edge. In other words, Google is literally only testing on Chrome now. Chris Peterson, the software company or community's technical program manager, tweeted on Tuesday that the video sharing site loads at a fifth of the speed on non-Chrome browsers due to its architecture, as first reported by Softpedia. And so Chris Peterson's actual tweet reads, YouTube page load is 5 times slower in Firefox and Edge than in Chrome because YouTube's Polymer redesign relies on the depreciated Shadow DOM version 0 API only implemented in Chrome. You can restore YouTube's faster pre-Polymer design, and they have a link to a Firefox add-on that basically does some CSS hacks and loads the old version of YouTube.
Nice.
Yeah, YouTube serves a Shadow DOM polyfill to Firefox and Edge that is unsurprisingly slower than Chrome's native implementation. On my laptop, the initial page load takes 5 seconds with the polyfill versus one without. Subsequent page load performance is comparable. Peterson suggests fixes for both Firefox, Mozilla's brother, and Microsoft Edge that revert YouTube to a previous version using add-ons.
Someone actually spent the time to build this for Microsoft Edge?
What he said, what the article says. I mean, I haven't verified all the links, but I mean, it's possible. There are some weird people out there, man. You've worked in the corporate world. You've met some of these assholes.
Yeah, that's true.
I've got an article later from Paul Thurrott's website. I fully intend on introducing him as a known Microsoft apologist. So, if anybody knows who Paul Thurrott is, you'll get that. And he kind of is, especially when you read when you hear the fucking article. Anyways, it says responding to Peterson's claim, a Google spokesperson said the company found that overall YouTube performance on Firefox is the same as it has been before the site redesign based on the latest metrics. It says it's always working to make YouTube faster regardless of the browser and continue to do so, blah, 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 blah. Mozilla employees are free to personally weigh in on discussions and share publicly their own hints and hacks that may make it easier for people to better utilize the web. As an open source company, we support the idea of giving people more information and access to tools that enhance the online experience, which is valuable to all web users, a Mozilla spokesperson said in a statement. What are we posting here? Oh, that's the Fireball bad decisions. Okay. It's like, what are we posting in the chat now? Mozilla continues to work on support for the standard Shadow DOM and Custom Elements API. We've been working with the YouTube team as they migrate to the use of these standard APIs. Firefox community maintains its focus on improving user-visible performance on all sites, including YouTube. Nobody's responded to requests for comments. So there's been a few versions of this article. But, I tell you, there's a decentralized YouTube. Nice. Psychros just posted a link to apparently something called PeerTube. But, considering what we were talking about last week, yeah, with the HookTube going down, and we talked about wanting like I keep thinking of the name of the platform now. Decentralized Facebook.
YouTube.
Mastodon,
that's it. Thank you. I was saying we needed that for YouTube, and I'm guessing Psychros found us one. So,
yeah. They are boasting a whopping 11,000 videos.
Hey, well, if it's 11,000 good videos, right?
So there's 10,999 cat videos and one complaining about something.
Yeah.
That it's going to be all the political people who've been getting kicked off YouTube. Anyways, I guess it shouldn't be much of a surprise that Google is optimizing all of their web pages for Chrome at this point. But I just kind of felt like calling it out because at one point they were really big on standards. I guess now that they're big and, you know, running a large chunk of the internet, they think they get to set the standards. Sort of like what Microsoft was doing in, what, mid-2000s? Trying to set the standards.
Yeah. I mean, was it
they've
the
opened
90s
the...
that had a trust... Yeah. Against them?
Well, I mean, hell, we talked about Europe doing that against Google for Android now, and it's literally the exact same lawsuit. So,
yep.
You know, there's that. But, I don't know. I think you're going to end up having to use the correct browser. I mean, and you already see Microsoft pulling that shit with, like, going into parts of the Office 365 administration panels. You use anything except Internet Explorer, and I am including Edge in that, by the way. Use anything except Internet Explorer, it doesn't work. you have to use IE to run certain parts of 365 in Azure.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and you know, both Chrome and Firefox have had some issues with memory leaks and rogue processes.
Oh, sure.
You know, lately, and it's really bad when you look at all the browsers and you go, there isn't a good one.
No, it's going to get to the point where you have to keep three or four browsers installed and just, you know, switch between them based on what sites you're going to.
Yeah.
That just seems fucking retarded.
Doesn't it?
Oh, Lord. I have four browsers installed on this machine.
I probably got more than that. Let's see. Chrome, Firefox, Internet Explorer, Edge, and I think I have Brave installed. Yep.
Okay, see, I don't have Brave, but I have Tor, but Tor is Firefox-ish.
It's an old Firefox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Morb, so they came up with the winning idea for the website. Make us heaps of money.
Okay.
I'll tell you after this show.
Oh, so it's an actual good idea, not one we're going to make fun of. Got it.
It's an actual good idea, yeah.
Wow, okay, cool.
Well, I've been thinking about redesigning... links. He's counting links. Psychro said, I have like six. And he's listing out the command line browsers and W3M e-links. Conqueror doesn't count.
Doesn't it, though?
That's a file browser. Wait a minute. No, actually, it does count. What version of KDE are you using? Because they changed out for Dolphin. I'm thinking KDE 3. That's old.
Probably has Lynx and Lynx 2.
Actually, the funny thing about me saying Conqueror doesn't count, if you go look at the history of WebKit, which is what Chrome and Opera, parts of Brave, parts of Firefox are based off of now, mm-hmm. all of it goes back to the Conqueror open source browser.
Really?
WebKit was forked from the KDE web browser project, and Google picked it up and basically turned it into Chrome. And it's also used in Safari, I believe. So, actually, it's a quite successful web browser, just nobody knows they're using it.
That's awesome.
At least I think I'm remembering that. Right now you got me wanting to Google it.
Google it off this show.
Yeah, probably should.
Conqueror.
Yep. KHTML, which was developed as part of Conqueror, was later derived into WebKit. Yep, that's it. So, I was remembering that right. Let's go on to the next one. This is kind of amusing, but also kind of sad. This is from geeksdirt.com. The legal fight between Apple and Qualcomm was started in January of 2017. Apple first sued Qualcomm for $1 billion over excessive royalties after that legal fight continues from both sides. In January of 2018, Qualcomm was fined $1 billion because Qualcomm is paying Apple to use its chips in its phones. According to reports of CNET, Qualcomm will halt its supply of chips to Apple, and that means upcoming iPhones will not have the faster Qualcomm modems. Financial chief of Qualcomm, George Davis, said, "We believe Apple intends to solely use our competitors' modems rather than our modems in its next iPhone release. Apple is currently using both Qualcomm and Intel modems in their iPhones. The iPhone models with the Qualcomm modem has better LTE speed and stronger signal strengths over the Intel modem. Android devices powered by Qualcomm are much faster than Apple's devices powered by Intel. The difference is good God, editors. It actually says this difference is significantly very big on Team
Wow.
Google. It's 50% on AT&T. It's 40% according to Millions Test, OculusSpeedTest.com. What the fuck is with your English, man? Apple currently has only one supplier for its modems. We're pretty sure that Intel will not be able to fulfill the high demands of Apple. So for now, Apple needs to find a new modem supplier as a replacement for Qualcomm. The thing here, and the reason
go
I want to talk about
Apple.
This.
Do it.
What?
I said, go back to Motorola.
Yeah. The reason I wanted to talk about this is because Qualcomm clearly has the superior technology here. And you can't use it because of all the bullshit fights over property rights and royalties on hardware. Well, it's the software and the hardware that they're fighting over. But, I mean, this goes back to the old argument we used to make about why you shouldn't be able to patent software. Because you end up in these kind of legal fights. And it's dumb because, seriously, this fight started over royalties in the modems, right? So because Apple thought Qualcomm was charging them too much to use the modems on a royalty price, this is after Apple buys the modems to put them in their phones. You'd think Qualcomm would be happy that Apple was buying them to put them in their phones, right? But they're actually going to sell less modems now because they tried to charge money for the software on them. Come on, man. It's getting kind of to a point of ridiculous where you can't use the better technology. And you know, you can argue this about Microsoft and some of the other stuff, too, just because it's getting so ridiculous to use the better technology because they're trying to maintain ownership of everything. So,
craziness.
I just miss the old days where you could just go buy a piece of equipment and use it, and you didn't have to, you know, worry about it. You just go pick the best one. Now it's days. It's well, pick the best one that's not encumbered by legal patent and all this other. So I mean, ultimately, people are going to get shittier phones. That's the end point. Well, that or you'll have people like, you know, you'll have the secondhand market where people are, you know, buying specific models of phones because they think it might have the better modem in it, the one that doesn't drop your calls all the fucking time. This is absurd.
What I really hope happens. Is you get some actual people with some knowledge in these like mall repair your phone type stores because they
oh you start getting like total hack job third party
oh yeah
yeah
yeah so you know those have always felt a little black market and a little sketchy yeah. But
night market custom specials yes
yeah yeah it's always been a little black markety so I'm like you know that'd be great they're like yeah we have Qualcomm modems.
We can
load one up for you.
I miss the days where you'd go in the mall and they'd have these booths that were just filled with all this different random gear and shit to go trick out cell phones. Most of it was hokey and stupid. But, you know, you could go in there with a phone that was misbehaving and the dude would just take it apart right then and there, put a new keypad on it, put a new battery in it. You know, swap out the antenna wire, and suddenly your shitty, you know, free phone you got for signing up for a cell phone plan, you know, you pay the dude, what, $60 for parts and labor. He kept your phone for 20 minutes while you walked around the mall. You come back, and your phone's, like amazingly better now.
Yeah.
Of course, you had to be careful, because some of those guys would put, like, weird colored key, you know, they had all these weird accessories and shit, so, you know, you kind of get the Walmart special garish phone if you weren't careful, but...
I was always like, yeah, put the bright yellow keycaps in and the, you know, make it a red case. Like, that was, I don't know.
I may have had a phone battery with LED lights in it. So, I mean, it's stupid.
It's going to be like the old Wild West with revolvers where they're taking bits and pieces from Smith & Wesson and every other company. And you'll have a cylinder from one, whatever from another, except cell phone. I've had an Intel screen. I've got a quad modem. I've got batteries from wherever the fuck.
The battery's just a couple of 18650s gun taped on the side.
Yeah, but we need like cell phone black or night market shops because that's the only way that we're going to ever end up getting like full on night market type shops for other devices, for computers, like those guys that are like desoldering and resoldering different and new chips into MacBooks because you can't fix them because they're junk.
You want the Nokia brick? I have a brick for you.
Yeah, right? But it's a brick with a Apple Retina display.
What's the guy? There's a guy on YouTube. I cannot think of his channel name now, but he... he used to be a Google engineer, so he's just got stupid amounts of money and time on his hands, right? And so he just goes over to China, goes over into their night markets in I want to say Beijing, and just buys all this shit, and then just like goes into his apartment and films himself like building stuff. Like, you know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, like taking an iPhone motherboard and swapping out the memory chips on it to, you know, get like 128 gig of memory on a 16 gig board and stuff like that. His channel's kind of hokey, and you know, he kind of hams it up and kind of does it blogger style. But I mean, it's what he's doing is actually really cool. So, like he spent. I remember watching one video where he went and bought all these parts, took apart an iPhone. Basically what he ended up doing was putting a splitter and adapter inside the phone, but getting it to fit was the trick, and basically put a headphone jack back in his iPhone.
Oh yeah.
So but yeah, shit like that, that's what we need. Most people don't want to deal with it. Most people don't want to learn and take the time, or you know, pay somebody to do it. They'd rather just go in a store and buy one. So I don't know when you'd get that, but man, that would be fun.
Well, see,
it?
that's where the night market stuff, because you'd have the guys that want, like, I would want my phone to be modified, but they would already have some that were, like, pre-modified, so you could just come in and, like, buy one. Yeah, this needs to be very cyberpunk.
Be awesome.
That's setting up a business for, like, you know, maybe 1% of the population actually wants.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that it's a fun concept, but when you actually tried to make it work, I mean, you'd very quickly...
I don't know. How many basic white women do you see out there that are like, oh, look, I just got the brand new iPhone X, blah, it does all of this stuff. Like, if they could go and get it with, like, a Gucci-branded case that wasn't, like, a case, but it was the actual phone, or, you know, there is so much stuff that you could market to a lot of these people that had no idea what was going on. It would just be aesthetics. It would be blinky lights, and you could tell them that it, you know, their battery lasted longer, so they could take more fucking naked shower selfies.
Well, I mean, hell, make the battery actually last longer, and, you know, don't...
Yeah.
You know, like, improve the waterproofing and shit. So if they want to take shower selfies, they absolutely can. I mean, you know, fuck it. Yeah, why not make the devices better? But, well, I mean, I guess you do kind of have some of that just in the shops that'll, you know, fix the glass in a cell phone, you know, while you wait. But, not, and, you know, they're not doing all this customization and chip swapping and shit. They're just, you know.
I bet you there would be more than 1% of the population that would want it. Especially once it got a little more mainstream.
I could see it getting picked up, but I don't know.
It would have to be a very big city.
I mean, have you seen Japanese cell phone mods?
Madman. Yeah, let's use
Japanese people live in a small area.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Madman, let's use you as an example, because you're like... You make a point of keeping the oldest phone, but you actually still has a phone. You actually still has. I'm doing it now. You actually still have a phone, unlike RU, who has used them. So,
I have a phone. I just haven't turned it on yet.
You still haven't turned it on?
I still haven't turned it on.
Right? That's the one Sard gave you, isn't it?
No. I went and bought one about 3 months ago.
You are my goddamn hero.
And, yeah, it buzzed like 3 times in a box on the walk home, and oh, fuck, you're annoying. Turn that off. And, yeah, I haven't turned it on. Like, it's not a fucking smartphone or anything like that. It's a $40 burner.
What's sad is you can get a $40 burner smartphone in this country.
Yeah, I picked one up for $29 for DEF CON this year.
So, okay, again, Madman, as the... represent as the cell phone Luddite of the group, would you be willing to pay a night market dude who looks sketchy and maybe has a cybernetic eye, I don't know, to, you know, modify the phone? It's like, yeah, you know, $60, we might double the memory, we might double the storage and better signal, or, you know, we might fuck up your phone.
I'd pay him to fix it. So if it was already fucked up, I'm like, here, $60, sure. But the reason I don't upgrade is I switch out a device when it no longer does what I want it to do. This phone still makes calls. And I did upgrade it once. I just dropped the upgrade, so it's not making phone calls.
He's using like a 10-year-old Android phone at this point. I mean, it's crazy. I'm amazed the thing keeps a charge at all.
Oh, I've had to replace the battery once. The battery's not 10 years old. Yeah, that sucker started swelling. I'm like, I don't think they do that naturally.
Well, I mean, once it swells enough, it de-swells, but it does it in a very rapid and energetic way.
Yeah. So, the battery ended up at batteries plus, and the dude that I showed was like, do you have a replacement for this? He's like, oh my fucking god, get that away from my face.
I'm just envisioning Madman and batteries plus shoving it in the guy's face. Hey, what do you think of this? It's like,
do you have a replacement for this? Oh god, that's a bomb. But yeah, it went into the special recycling bin.
Yeah, I had to do that with a drone battery because, you know, I over-discharged it, and we felt it boiling. So that ended up getting thrown.
And then, I did that with a motorcycle battery.
Oh.
Yeah, but you did that with a trickle. It wasn't a trickle charger. You drove over voltage.
Oh, no, I chose the jump start a tow motor option. You don't do that with a motorcycle battery.
No.
Dear Jesus, Madman.
So my race motorcycle has a lithium ion battery, which is always really frightening.
Do you just gun tape a bunch of 18650s together on the side of it?
No. So there's a company that makes these 1 pound batteries that are made for starting race motorcycles.
And because it's so much lighter than a regular lead acid. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Dude, allowed to have that on your bike when you're racing?
Yeah.
Or is that just to pre-start the bike?
No, it's allowed to be on the motorbike.
That's fucking retarded.
The company that makes them says that they have a it was like anti-auto ignition circuit in the battery, so if it detects that it's going into meltdown mode, it does something.
So how does that help when the lithium gets exposed to oxygen and it's a mostly charged battery?
That's what I'm thinking, man.
Well, I would really hope that at that point I have crashed bad enough that I am no longer near the motorcycle and the battery has been thrown free. And at that point, I don't give a shit. Let it burn.
Sucks to be the person whose lap that lands in.
Yeah, because it's 12 18650s wired together.
I could see you being clear of the bike. I don't think the battery's going to be. Sorry to say.
I was thinking of back when I was racing, man, the fucking certification you had to go through just for a fuel tank. Oh. Let alone putting a bloody battery in there that, you know, the slightest shunt will get it exploding.
See, damn it, I've got a bunch of 18650s laying around from taking about our old laptops. Now you got me wondering if I wired them up, charged it up, and then, like, I don't know, chucked it from a moving vehicle, what would happen?
Grab the car keys, madman.
All right, yeah. I'm like, hey.
I'm thinking we're going to get arrested is what's going to happen. But
well, it depends on where you do it.
Top of the parking garage.
Just remember, dudes, make sure you're scouting a low snack bar. That way you won't be a terrorist. You'll just be mentally ill.
let's move on here. This next story is from Engadget. Google might have just made itself the biggest example of how security keys can work better than other forms of multi-factor authentication. According to Krebs on Security, ever since the tech giant required over 85,000 of its employees to use physical security keys instead of one-time codes in 2017... it hasn't had a single case of account takeover from phishing. Anybody want to call bullshit? Well, it's only been a year.
Yeah.
So we've had no reported or confirmed account takeovers since implementing security keys at Google, the company spokesperson said. Users might be asked to authenticate using their security key for many different apps or reasons. It all depends on the sensitivity of the app and the risk of the user at the point in time. Security keys like
that
the
just
one...
means that they don't know about the, yeah. The account takeovers.
There you go. Security keys like the ones made by YubiKey give you a way to log into a website simply by plugging it in and pressing a button. You don't need to type your password anymore. Let's just generate a one-time code. While the method has its own weaknesses, considering it relies on a physical item you can lose, it's considered safer than two-factor authentication. It is two-factor authentication. What do you mean safer than? It is something you have.
I think they mean it's safer than...
They mean it's safer than the SMS codes over your phone.
Yeah.
Hackers can intercept messages sent to your device and gain entry to your account. Unfortunately, universal second factor, that's what you call this type of multi-factor that uses physical key. No, that's a format of... Fuck. I shouldn't read articles like this. It just pisses me off. It's like, that is a particular format of physical keys. I'm pretty sure RSA would argue with you that they're all considered universal second factor. Support is pretty limited at the moment. You can already depend on it for protection on Chrome, but you have to manually activate it on Firefox by going to About Config first. Microsoft isn't going to be rolling out U2F compatibility for Edge until later this year, and Apple has yet to reveal whether Safari will ever support the standard. Further, only a few websites and services can use it, including Facebook and password managers such as KeePass and LastPass. It remains to be seen if Google's positive experience with the standard can help it become more widespread, but it's definitely the kind of meaningful testimonial that could give it a massive boost. Also, Google's getting ready to start selling physical tokens. That's why they made the announcement.
Yeah. Well, I think they actually have or they own a portion of YubiKey.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. And don't get me wrong, I have a handful of YubiKeys, and we use a few of them at work. They're fantastic as far as a multi-factor token goes.
Yeah. Well, and so my question is, yes, it is better than an SMS second factor.
Sure.
But is it any better than, say, Microsoft Authenticator or Duo's, you know, app-driven second factor? Because there's the way they communicate is a whole lot better than SMS. And I mean,
I would
they,
say
they
no.
Have
because
really,
well, okay. So I mean, I've done a lot of research into this mainly for work, but the little YubiKeys are fantastic in most situations because it's a physical thing. You say you treat it like your car keys, and most people get that, right? But they have to be programmed, and they are a pain in the butt to set up, at least with, like, you know, Okta and a few other services like that. And as far as doing Windows authentication with them, you end up having to do all kinds of modification to the, you know, you have to install this thing and make sure it's online at all times. Basically, to do Windows auth with YubiKeys, you basically have to be on the internet to log in. So
that's not necessarily great. Why I think something like Duo or Microsoft Authenticator, things like that are.
Well, I'm not a fan of the Microsoft one because they like to fall back on codes like a lot.
Yeah, but, yeah, theirs isn't as good. Duo's is really good.
Duo's is good. Okta's is good. Mm-hmm. Symantec has a decent one. RSA's soft token is decent.
No, it's not. It's junk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Especially if you've ever had to roll them out.
I've not. I've only had to use it tangentially, and it was okay when I used it.
Yeah, so and using it is fine. Like, from a user base, it's fine. Rolling it out,
it's not any better than the tokens, because that
horrible.
Was a pain in the dick.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was the worst thing I've ever done. Like, I've rolled out 2FA for Duo and for Microsoft Authenticator.
Oh, nothing beats how easy Duo is. I mean, yeah. Nothing beats Duo for ease.
And granted, like, so Microsoft Authenticator, because this was a full Microsoft network, was like... two clicks in AD and a couple more clicks in SCCM for an update, and it was done. Like, it honestly took me 15 minutes.
Sure.
Like, it was great. The other problem with RSA's soft token is the algorithm has been broken. So if you can collect two or three of the codes, and they don't even have to be sequential. You just have to collect two or three from that soft token. You can print out a list of times and codes that are going to happen.
You don't need the seed key to do that?
Nope. Not anymore.
Okay, yeah. Fuck the RSA soft token then. I mean, it's one thing if you have the seed key and you can do that after collecting a few things, but if you can do that without the seed key, fuck.
Yeah, they're real broken.
Okay, fuck RSA then. Yeah, because last time I looked at it, it was okay. But yeah, the Symantec soft token's okay. And Google Authenticator, because that's based on the same idea of time base. But the thing with like the Duo one and the Okta one, I know those two really well, is that because they're app based and they're basically doing TLS tunneling over the internet, those communication channels are relatively clean. Now, TLS is not perfect. If you man in the middle of the thing, you can screw with it. But their apps are pretty good about figuring out they're being fucked with because they're only designed to talk to the one server. And, you know, they're rotating their keys pretty consistently. But the other thing is, with the YubiKeys, if somebody loses it, and depending on how it's set up, somebody else can pick it up and use the damned thing. Because what most users do, they write their username and password on the damn thing, or you know, on the side of the laptop. But and also, users tend to just leave them plugged into machines all day. That's the other caveat I've noticed, is that they'll just leave it plugged in and just tap it whenever they won't like pick it up and take it with them when they go to the bathroom or whatever. So it kind of defeats the purpose. But the thing with the soft tokens is, you know, a user comes to you and says they've lost the YubiKey. Okay, you have to go in there and you have to decommission the key, and now you're out, you know, a $30 or $40 key. I mean, I know you can get the U2F ones a little cheaper, but, you know, you're out a chunk of money. Whereas if a user comes to you and says, hey, I think my smartphone got hacked, or hey, I've lost my phone, you can decommission the key through the app right there, and it'll actually destroy it on the phone so that whoever's got the phone can't use it, period. And, I mean, granted, disabling the physical key does the same thing, but I've found most users notice they've lost their smartphone a hell of a lot quicker than they notice they've lost a little dongle off their keychain.
Yeah.
So my experience with the Duo and the Okta Verify apps has been very positive compared to doing physical tokens.
Yeah, so have I, for those exact reasons. I don't know how many times where I've had people come to me at the place where we were using the RSA, and they were like, oh, I forgot my token. Can you just, could you log me in? Can you give me a different one? And it's like, no. That's not, no.
And then your boss comes up like 20 minutes later. Yeah, can you just do them the favor and let them get in anyways? And it's like, no, that's not how it works. Yeah, yeah. We're going to need you to go ahead and just, you know, make it work that way. I've gotten that one a couple of times.
Yeah, and the thing that I had a higher up come to me and tell me was, well, you just log in with your credentials and let them use that.
No!
Pornhub, here I come.
My favorite was my boss calling me up in the middle of the night and saying, yeah, you know the multi-factor on my account? It's like, yeah. Yeah, I need you to log in and turn that off. No, that's not the point of it. Yeah, you need to log in and turn that off. It's like, dude, come on, quit. No, I'm serious, do it. What? Do it or you're going to get written up. Fuck. You know, he was dead serious. You know, I've had my direct boss, because he wasn't a security guy. He didn't understand it. So, geez. You know, he saw it as being a pain in the ass. So later he asked me to set him up as an admin in the system. And of course, you know, he's your boss. What do? Right. So I tell him, please don't fuck with it. I go in there and he's basically whitelisted everybody else on the team from having to use multifactor because they were all bitching about it so much. And he knew I would say no. So he just went and did it anyways. It's like, you prick. So I wrote up their vulnerability report, you know, got in trouble for writing up the vulnerability report. It's like, no, you can't call us out like that. Because, again, it's your own fucking boss, right? What do? Yeah. I need to, like, write a book and just call it Security Fail.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to the next one. This is from Therot.com, noted Windows Microsoft apologist. Anybody who knows Paul Therot knows he kind of is.
Professional Microsoft apologist.
Dude, yeah. He kind of is, because that's what his website is. So I'm and, okay, and I'm calling him that kind of in jest because he gets mad at people for calling him that. But
I hate him even more now because he's either behind a paywall or
yeah, he's got that you can hit he's got a very small link at the bottom that says go to the website and you can skip the login and all that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, he's like your ad blocker is showing. I'm like, fuck you. Of course it is.
So I'm going to read this article, and when you realize what he's talking about Windows doing to make what he's talking about work, and he's talking about how wonderful this is, you tell me he's not a Microsoft apologist. Microsoft just released two new Windows 10 builds to insiders. The firm today started testing the next Windows 10 update, codenamed 19H1, with a select group of insiders, and it's introducing a major new improvement for the OS. With Windows 10 Redstone 5, I guess they did buy Minecraft, didn't they? So I guess they can call it Redstone. With Windows 10 Redstone 5, Microsoft is making changes to the update system. The company is implementing a new cloud-based logic for the Windows update system in order to avoid unexpected updates when you really need to get work done on your computer. The update utilizes a predictive model that will improve over time in order to better understand when you are going to use your device. This way, Windows can make sure it's not disrupting your work and install the update when you are actually expecting it to. This will consider contextual things, like if you were currently using your device before restarting or to try to predict when you move away from your device to grab a coffee, etc. Microsoft says the company found the new model to produce promising results internally. The reliability of the system is still up in the air, of course, but since it's a deep learning system, it's going to improve over time as Microsoft trains the model with more data. This way, the system will not only be more reliable for everyone over time, but it should also be more personalized to your own habits and device usage. Still, Windows will have to install updates eventually, so it may still seem unexpected to some. Either way, this feature should ship with Redstone 5, which is expected to arrive for the public later this year, sometime around October. Windows updates have long been annoying to regular customers, mainly because they tend to unexpectedly disrupt their workflow. Microsoft has implemented features like active hours to help avoid this kind of behavior in recent years, though most customers aren't really aware of the feature's existence. An intelligent system that's more proactive and designed into the core of the system sounds more effective. So I'm, and this is Paul Throt writing, quite pleased to see Microsoft investing some good work here.
It's going to watch what I'm doing, keep track of what I'm doing, map my patterns, and then decide to do shit while I'm sleeping. Instead of just paying attention to my setting of, why don't you update when I'm sleeping?
Or, you know, going back to the old system in Windows 7 and just asking the fucking user.
Yeah.
If I could have done it, I would have been loading a shotgun shell by shell as you were reading off the intrusive fucking features. Obvious thing. You know, just this is what I'm sitting here. I'm just listening, like fucking just slow stroking my cock, putting the shells in, because it's a hunting time. Fuck you, Microsoft, and fuck you right in the ass. So, God, I hate fucking Windows 10.
So I'm of a little different mind, where I'm like, fuck your usability bullshit. I think, one, updates should be mandatory. Like, don't ask me, just fucking do it. I don't think you should ask someone who's less smart than me if they want to, because they're always going to fucking say no, and then they're going to get pissed off and come scream at me when something happens. So I'm like, no, fuck it. Do it mandatory. Don't ask. That will fix the fucking problem. Okay, one. Two, someone like me who has all of the analytics turned off because I went into the thing with the registry
you,
editor.
You ran Shut Up 10, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, basically. And so it's not sending shit back home. You know, at that point, it's not going to learn because it's not going to be sending any of my shit back to them. And I'm still going to hit yes every time I see that fucking pop-up that says to load updates, because updates are fucking important.
I don't disagree with you that updates are important and they need to be installed. I just don't think you need an AI deep learning data collection system to do it.
Oh, you don't. Oh, shit. He's scheduled to rub one out. It's Tuesday at 3 o'clock. Better not fucking update. Like, this is not the kind of shit I want in my machine. You know, like, dude, I don't want it to know what I'm about to fucking do before I do it. Oh, it's been an hour. He's probably going for a cigarette. No, fucking hell.
It's update time.
This is why I try to keep Windows installed on a minimum number of machines in the house. That, you know, and where I can keep it wrapped up in a virtual machine where it's not capable of hurting anyone. So
this is going beyond. I think it's because no one fucking actually thinks about this, or they hear about it and they go, "What does it matter?" They don't realize that they're having a virtual profile of themselves be built up by a major corp.
Well, I mean, they
when you think about it, this data, you sync this up with this fucking pre-crime data shit that they've got going on with policing, and then sync it up with, say, social safety net programs. This is painting a pretty good picture of the individual.
So at what point are you going to need to be licensed to use an operating system that doesn't have the tracking built in and reporting your every interaction to the government?
I just don't think that that'll be an option outside of government form.
Again, fucking night markets.
Speaking of...
Yeah, I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
I'll give you that one. I'll concede. Placing shotgun on floor.
Speaking of night markets, Facebook on Thursday posted the largest one-day loss in market value by any company in the U.S. stock market history after releasing a disastrous quarterly report.
Jesus.
The social media giant's market capitalization plummeted by $119 billion to $510 billion as its stock price plummeted by 19%. By Wednesday's close, Facebook market cap had totaled nearly $630 billion, according to FactSet. No company in the history of the U.S. stock market has ever lost $100 billion in market value in just one day, but two came close. Intel in 2000 and Microsoft in 2000. Intel lost 90,000 and Microsoft 80,000. Or, yeah, 90 million, thank you. And Microsoft lost 80 million. Yeah, dollars
and
millions.
It lost the equivalent of McDonald's in one day.
Actually, billions. Jesus. These are billions. Yeah. Well, the decimal place is confusing on that chart because it says
US
losses in millions.
Loss in millions.
Yeah. See, that's what threw me at first.
This is why you don't. This is why you don't fuck with the Clintons, man.
You're a bad person. Oh, bad person.
So if you look at this list.
I'm not going for a conspiracy theory here. They've been trying to sink Facebook.
No, save the conspiracy theory for the next story. Oh, for losing them the election? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because $100,000 worth of Russian ads that were poorly written really changed the course of the election.
Yeah.
Trump won with less support than Romney lost by. Come on. Facebook ads didn't have shit to do with it.
Yeah, so if you look at the list of these companies... It's like internet company, tech company, software company, basically shitty hardware company, oil and gas.
Exxon's not a shitty hardware company. They're a gas company.
No, they're oil and gas. And then
Apple
General
Electric. Shitty hardware.
Oh, fair.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Google, then Bank of America, then Amazon. Like, most of this list is high-tech companies, because they're fucking volatile.
And big.
I mean, yeah. Well, and that's just it. Like, I remember when I was young, everyone's like, oh, watch out for those high-tech companies. They're all super volatile, but you can make a lot of money doing it. It's like, you can. But they're all super volatile just because of how fast technology changes and how fickle the American public is. Like, when one of General Electric's brands fail... you don't know that it's owned by General Electric. So they make the exact same product, they just put a different fucking name on it. That's why you don't see anything with the GE logo on it unless it's like an MRI machine.
Yeah, I see that. But, yeah, it's just funny. I mean, yeah, I mean, and if you go read further down the article, it talks about a bunch of the different stock companies or brokerages, I should say, are downgrading Facebook from a buy status because they just don't see any future growth in the company. It's like it's been a couple of months of really bad news for them, so it's not all that surprising. It does kind of make me wonder, would it be worth buying and holding it, though? Like, waiting 6 months and seeing what happens. Because they still have a hell of a user base. So,
oh, yeah.
But, I mean, they could be going the way of Facebook. Or not Facebook. They could be going the way
MySpace.
Of MySpace now, and something else could come up. I guess Instagram.
Although, nothing's
don't they
come
own
up
Instagram?
Yet?
They do.
Yeah.
Nothing's come up yet, so I would just look at this as it's a sale on Facebook stocks.
Could be.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I just looked up GDP.
I'm also wondering...
By country.
I'll let you go there in just a second. I just want to finish the thought.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just kind of wondering if people are getting burnt out on social media in general, and you're just going to start seeing a downfall of that.
No. There are too many social media zombies.
That's disappointing.
I know people plugged into it, and they treat it like the old TV. Even if they're not paying attention to it, they're occasionally scrolling through it just because it's there.
All right, go ahead, Syntax. Sorry, dude.
They lost in one day more than two-thirds of the countries on the planet's GDP.
Yeah.
So two-thirds of the countries on the planet have less than 119 million GDP.
Well, most of the world's a shitty, horrible place.
Yeah.
You live in the most prosperous country in the history of the world. A lot of our companies are bigger than a lot of other countries.
When you hear them saying, we need to kill the 1%, you are the 1%.
The poor people in America are the 1% of the world.
Exactly.
The dude working at McDonald's, he's part of the 1%. No one knows this because we're rich and entitled and fucking amazing.
Exactly, and I love it that my fucking clothes are hand-stitched by the nimble fingers of little Chinese children.
And we routinely eat the closest living relative to the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, chickens, they're fucking delicious. Deep fry that fucker.
Dude, it's only the last 40 years chickens have been that abundant that we could do it.
Yeah.
Psychos just posted in the chat room, that's not accurate. It's probably closer to 10%, but at first when I saw that's not accurate, I thought he was going to chastise me for my chicken joke. So
okay, top 10% from the McDonald's guy, I'll give you that.
We lost.
But still rich.
Facebook lost more money than the Ukraine's GDP.
It seems pretty irresponsible of Facebook now, doesn't it?
Yeah, right?
You lose money you never had?
Kind of. I guess if you're counting, opportunity.
No, this isn't lost money. It is
lost
value, you might ask. Because no one lost anything unless they bought high and then sold low. But it is still funny that their price had been speculated that high. Because, honestly, the way most companies, the way you used to figure up a stock was, what did the company do? How much money is it going to make? Facebook doesn't make money in the traditional way. It's not even ad-focused as much as traditional ads would be. Really weird to peg a price on them. Same thing with Snapchat or a lot of other social media companies.
You remember the bubble of the 90s?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know?
One thing I wish I did in the 90s was buy Kmart stock when it was 5 cents a share.
Yeah, they're still going. Everybody thought they were going under. So.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, barely. But let's, I mean, it is more than 5 cents a share.
Yeah. All right. Let's do the last news article, and then we'll move on here. So this one, you sent me this earlier. It's from the BBC. YouTube has taken down 4 videos posted by the conspiracy theory channel InfoWars.
Humanity is going interstellar.
That's not the Alex Jones clip I wanted, but that works. In the videos, the host of the channel, Alex Jones, criticizes Muslim immigrants to Europe and also denounces a transgender cartoon. Cartoon transgender? You know what? I don't want to think about it. It's not important. It's like, no, they're just however they're drawn. Why? What do you mean? Anyways, in one of the clips, shows a man pushing a child to the floor. In addition, InfoWars has been hit by a penalty known as a community strike, and which stops it from broadcasting live for 90 days. Damn, I didn't realize a single community strike got you for 90 days. That's kind of long. News about the removals first came from InfoWars, in which they said they were deleted because they were critical of liberalism. The videos have been posted separately to the main InfoWars site. Mr. Jones said people should watch them and make up their own mind about the content. In 2 of the clips, Mr. Jones said many European nations were in danger of being taken over by Muslim immigrants, and in another, he compared the creators of the Drag Tots cartoon to Satanists. No idea what
that... Stop calling him Mr. Jones. That just legitimizes him.
I'm just reading. YouTube did not...
Making him sound legit.
Can we call him, like, A-Dog?
YouTube did not comment directly on the removal of videos, but told Reuters, "We have a long-standing policies against child endangerment and hate speech." It added, "We apply our policies consistently according to the content in the videos, regardless of the speaker and the channel." InfoWars could be permanently thrown off YouTube if it receives 2 more community strikes in the next 3 months. The channel received a strike in February, which has now expired. More than 2.4 million people subscribe to A-Dog's channel on YouTube. He has been widely criticized for repeating theories that the 9/11 attacks were staged by the U.S. government. A-Dog has also claimed that many children killed in the 2012 Sandy Hook massacre were actors. Well, good on them for having jobs at their age.
Right? And that's taking method acting
to a whole new way. The parents of 2 children shot in that attack are suing him for defamation, saying he has made false, cruel, and dangerous assertions. In March of this year, major advertisers, including Nike, 20th Century Fox, Expedia, and others, stopped their ads from appearing on InfoWars after CNN revealed their content was running alongside its videos. Well, YouTube doesn't exactly give you any control over whose content shows up in front of your videos, so...
Oh, I bet you they can control that.
Oh, I'm sure
and
they can.
And InfoWars isn't just on YouTube. They started out terrestrial broadcasts and still there.
So
fucking really?
Yes, like, InfoWars is on the radio and has been for years, dude.
I thought it was a local Texas station for a really long time.
Yeah. Like I knew that. I thought they were doing video, like terrestrial video.
Oh, no, they're not on, like, TV. He was on public access for a bit, but that's why he's on YouTube now. It's cheaper.
Yeah.
So.
And more people see him on YouTube than they would on TV.
Yeah.
So let's go to A-Dog now for comment.
I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I'm a human. And I'm coming.
Yeah, when I discovered that clip combo last week, I may have overplayed it a little bit.
Just a little bit.
That's the first time I've heard it. Cause
it's nice and juvenile.
I'm really bad.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's bad because I don't listen to shows I'm not on.
Go ahead, are you?
I don't know how Alex Jones can be taken seriously. It should be. It's more satire than anything.
He's a lot of fun to watch occasionally, though.
Hey, but I couldn't do it daily.
No.
And
now I do enjoy watching him every once in a while because I really think he's going to have an aneurysm on screen, and it'll be hilarious.
Oh, no doubt. He will die in front of that camera screaming about the Illuminati. I can't wait. I don't want Alex to die, but it's going to be a fucking hilarious video. And I think he's probably going to be one of Alex's biggest for views.
It's going to be one of these things. It's like, well, he's sitting there at the desk, laying collapsed at the desk, foaming at the mouth. Is that part of the act, or should somebody actually call
that's
an ambulance?
I mean.
And that's when you're going to have 100,000 people watch him die live on the internet, Facebook stream or whatever.
Exactly, because his staff are going to sit there going, fuck, I don't want to get yelled at him, but be okay? Like,
it'll be outside of the Bilderberg Society.
get the Alex Jones sticks and give him a poke, see if he's still alive.
It's the A-Dog stick. They have to use it every once in a while. Stick. The last two times he woke up, so, you know. Odds are good.
Somebody check the cocaine tray in his room. Is it full? If it's not, we're in trouble.
But he will have a fucking aneurysm. I'm waiting for him to blow a blood vessel in one of his eyes one day.
You know, just see his eye go blood red.
Yeah, exactly. Because he gets fucking worked up, man. I'd love to have a I'd love him to wear a Fitbit or something like that and just have his fucking heart rate
just up on screen as part of the Chiron.
That way, I can tell if it's genuine fucking outrage or he's just fucking pulling one over us. You know, I'm going to shoot him a fucking email and see if he'll put the heart rate monitor up there on him and his guests.
He probably would, thinking it's hilarious.
I know. Yeah, the dude loves his audience. I'll give him that. He really does love people that watch him. He loves himself a lot.
Well, I mean, he seems like he takes it well when, like, those goofy meme videos of him show up, too. So,
he loves it.
Yeah, he tells people to make more of him. And you know what? I can't take anything away from the man. He's built an empire for himself on conspiracy theory.
So, seriously.
And it's brilliant.
Back to the actual story, though. Was YouTube justified in pulling his shit off his channel?
No.
No.
And the reason I say this, Alex Jones... He's over the top a lot of times, but in many stories, he's factually accurate, and they said InfoWars. So this doesn't mean Alex Jones. And some of the people hosted on InfoWars, his website, and post things on his channel, do actual journalism and cite their sources and show video and get representatives of governments to talk with them. So,
and
the whole Muslim
fair,
takeover of Europe, that could be a legit story with legit sources, and he got a strike for that.
To be fair...
Just because of the way he frames it.
To be fair, he's kind of a known quantity. If you go to the InfoWars channel, you pretty much know what you're going to get.
Yeah. It's irresponsible to sit your 9-year-old down with a tablet and go, here, watch this, Billy, for the next 4 hours.
Europe!
So I'm going to hold or withhold judgment because I haven't seen the videos in question. But I don't know. YouTube pulls weird things. And I mean it's definitely not because he's critical of liberalism, because I've seen them pull down some pretty ridiculous like super left things. I don't know. I do think they're really arbitrary on what they pull down. They're like, yeah, fuck it. Who are we going to go after today? So,
I don't watch a lot of Alex Jones, but that what I've seen, he doesn't tend to put stuff up for shock value, if that's right.
So you think he was doing legitimate discussion of a news story for most of
this? Yeah, I don't think he would have personally broadcast child abuse. I think they've probably taken it way out of context. And if they are, I can think of a lot of prank channels that could be construed as child abuse.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Harmon put out a hell of a one.
And... what was the other one he's charged with? So there was the child abuse and the hate speech?
It was hate speech, yeah.
Hate speech for Islam story.
So he holds a different opinion to Facebook or whatever. You know? So it's his legitimate thought that he thinks Islam's taking over Europe. Why is that such a controversial statement? He's not saying rise up Europe and destroy Islam. Now, that would have probably been along the borders, but just stating the fact that it's his opinion, right? He's an opinionated man. It's one of the reasons I can't get behind this hate speech shit. Because that's his opinion.
So, all right, cool. You guys ready to do this?
Yeah.
Two little things for us tonight in Digital Dojo. First is a GitHub project called Sniff Paste. And,
oh, that sounds so Asian.
So I giggled a lot, and then I started reading about it, and I'm like, I'm already pulling the repository.
Basically, it's a Python script that will just monitor Pastebin and save anything that comes across it. You can give it a number of pastes to scrape, or just let it run forever. And it will sit there and dump it into a MySQL database so that you can then pull out the interesting stuff. And it'll try to store out things like secrets and phone numbers, IP addresses, links, that kind of thing. So, if you just want to monitor Pastebin for specific information, there you go.
And it looks like you can do a little more than that because you can – there's some mass scan integration, at least with their IP filtering list. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this looks neat.
Yeah, I thought it looked like an interesting project to play with. I'm thinking by itself it's not so interesting, but because it's dumping all into a database and it's trying to do some intelligent work on the and now it's doing analysis for, IPs, emails, phone numbers, secrets, that kind of thing. You could plug this into some other automation. So, you just kind of let it run and just in the evenings check your reports for how many websites you've pwned today.
Yeah, right?
It's like, three AWS accounts. Well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can do that with Shodan as well.
Oh, sure. But this is a little bit cheaper than a Shodan.
This is automated. Yeah.
So. And finally, I have a somebody's put together, he calls it a collection of cool and obscure Unix tools. And I don't think all of these are all that obscure because I use a couple of these on a pretty regular basis. But it's a nice collection. He's got things like dstat, htop, rsync's not unknown. Vim and Emacs are not obscure, but he acts like they are. Screen and tmux are not obscure, but he's got them listed out on here. SOCAT, MTR. A little bit. Multitail, I've seen that one.
I've used MTR.
Mm-hmm. I've not used TPP. I hadn't heard of that one. It's a console-based presentation system, and there's another one on here I hadn't seen. Task Warrior, which I thought was interesting. They've got NetHack on here. Come on. that's not obscure. But there's some other neat stuff on here for a terminal-based calendaring system, some Twitter clients, some RSS feeds. Of course, Kausei. Kausei is not obscure. But
no.
I'm objecting more to that title of that. It's actually a really nice collection of good console tools.
Yeah. So in one of the last places that I worked on my last day, and we left amicably, on their data, a big cluster to do big calculations. So now when you got the login prompt, you got the daily fortune in Kausei above your login.
Oh, I always love that.
And that went live like the day that I left company.
I always love shit like that because nobody ever expects it.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
But
what's fun is, so a lot of these you can use and pipe some through themselves or through something else and make some really, really neat kind of one-liners.
Oh, sure. So I just thought it was a nice collection of tools, especially if you're not as familiar with console work, and thought I would showcase it because he's got little screenshots of all of it too, and it's well formatted for what it is.
Oh, I have an update real quick.
Okay.
So remember the video game that was free? We talked about it last or 2 weeks ago, Hacknet.
Yeah,
vaguely.
So I loaded it, and I have like 5 hours in it. And it's surprisingly good. So it's a lot of it is console stuff, and it's correct console commands.
Really?
It's very it's very, very dumbed down. But it is the closest thing that I have ever seen to a hacking video game to being at least within spitting distance of reality.
Oh, what was the one from the... There was one several years ago that was a hacking simulator, and, you know, it had the phone system in it, and, I mean, of course, all the IPs were, you know, wrong and stuff like that, but it was still stupid fun. What was that one called? I can't think of what's...
No idea, and
it'll come to me.
Granted, you know, I'm only a couple of hours into it, so I've only, you know, like you have to unlock different tools and stuff like that, right? So I've only got like 3 different tools I can use.
Uplink, that was the game.
Anybody ever... I haven't even thought about Uplink.
Oh man, that game was fun though.
Yeah.
Dead wrong, not anything like the real thing, but fun.
Yeah. So this one, Hacknet, is close. I'm really waiting to get like 10 or 12 hours in and have it, you know, tell me that I need to do a git scrape and find a new tool or something, and it's not going to tell me how to use it, so I do have to like Google things for 7 hours like normal.
Is the soundtrack any good?
Yeah, it's kind of vaporwavy, kind of chill. The only thing that I've noticed is for it being a console-based game, it works your video card kind of hard, and it makes my laptop hot because they have a lot of like weird.
They're trying to make it look and stuff like that.
Yeah. They're just trying to make it look prettier than you know it really is. So I turned like everything off and made it kind of dull. But I was playing it at a local bar, and I had a Linux admin kind of freak out as he walks by
and sees something that looks close enough.
Yeah, and it was definitely one of those, what are you doing?
Well,
and then I showed it to him.
Yeah. When I walk through places, like, especially coffee shops around here, and if I see somebody running Kali, I take a look at what they're doing. Usually.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know what's really, really funny? Half the time when I see somebody running Kali, you know what they're doing? They're browsing Facebook. It's just like, fuck, what are you doing? Why?
Well, so whenever I'm doing a job like that and I have my attack platform open, I always have Facebook or Twitter open. So if someone walks where they can be shoulder
surfing,
you can, me,
you can
like,
just alt-tab and look like you're not doing anything?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, these most the two guys I saw doing this weren't doing that. They were legitimately just killing time on there, and you know, it was like the default install of Kali. It's not like it was even customized or anything. So it's just like, it's like, what are you doing? I mean, so oh well. Anyways.
Oh my god, I think you can get Uplink for free.
Can you?
I'm looking, maybe. Yeah. Keyboardplays.com. It looks like it's gone out of copyright? Or something. I don't know. Yeah, you can you can get the game. I'm downloading it now.
Nice. Wonder how well that'll even play on a modern PC. You probably need to load up like DOSBox or a VM machine just to play it.
It looks like it's been updated to run on a standard PC. Now. Uplink. Trust is a weakness. Yeah, this has been updated in 2006. Oh, and they have it ported to Linux. This is amazing. Done.
That's awesome. So, anyways, that's all I've really got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday. At least if we, you know, I almost canceled the show tonight. Just worn out. Feel like shit. But, yeah, I didn't. That may or may not have been a mistake. The Galaxy 15 radio site and the subreddit. Are you? Closing thoughts.
I just realized I defended Alex Jones today.
Yeah, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, things are getting weird, dude. The people I've been defending lately, yeah. You know, it's pretty close to end times.
Madman, closing thoughts.
Wonder if Alex Jones is hiring. That'd be a cool job to have. I could even help him monitor for gay frogs. I don't like them putting chemicals in the
water that turn the freaking frogs gay. All right, Syntax, close us out. What do you got?
I don't really have much except DEF CON's coming up in like 10 days or so. If anyone is going, I'll be around. I'll have a big blinky keyboard badge along with like 100 of my friends. So come up, say hi. I'm also speaking and I'm working B-sides. So if you can find me, come say hi and I'll give you an I changed my password sticker.
Nice. All right. That's it. I'm playing the sound.